How do you describe the indescribable? Humans have faced this dilemma since the dawn of time. And the most common way is by analogy or metaphor, using a common image as a symbol to describe the characteristics of that which defies description. And trying to describe the nature and character of God, the divine, has been and continues to be and always will be among the most perplexing. For any words are, of course, woefully inadequate. None of that stopped biblical authors, however, from using a variety of images and metaphors to describe the divine. And on this Pentecost Sunday, I want to focus on the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, has been compared to the wind, to breath, to tongues of fire, and has been described as the advocate, comforter, and teacher. And the Holy Spirit is also how many of us refer to the experience of the sacred presence of God in our midst. Now, the most common image and symbol of the Holy Spirit is a dove descending from heaven, like in the story of Jesus' baptism. And though inadequate, images, metaphors, and symbols are important because they're all we have. And for those of us progressives who aren't comfortable with how Christianity has tended to literalize God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the search continues. So this morning, I'd like to introduce what might be a new image to you for the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Celtic tradition, who call it Angadlas. And for those of you not fluent in the Gaelic language, it refers to a wild goose. And a recent representation of that by Hilary Ann Golden, you'll find on the cover of this morning's worship bulletin. Now, the first thing many of us think of in connection with the term wild goose is the old phrase, a wild goose chase. And who among us hasn't been on our share of wild goose chases? You know, those times when we're out searching for something only to find out that all the time we spent turns out to be nothing more than a tedious, unproductive, and unfruitful pursuit. Well, have you ever tried to actually chase down a wild goose? Well, I've missed that experience. But I suppose that if it doesn't first try to chase you down, then it turns out to be a fruitless endeavor of trying to catch something that cannot easily be tracked, let alone tamed. So how is the Holy Spirit of God like a wild goose? Now, it's not often that I recommend books written by conservative evangelical authors. And that's mainly because most with that perspective come with a theological assumption of an interventionist God whose absolute sovereignty of the universe verges on the control of all things, or at least allowing things to happen for some divine purpose. Well, I'm not here today to argue that from a progressive theological perspective. That's another sermon. But in my research on the Celtic understanding of the Holy Spirit, I came across a book appropriately entitled Wild Goose Chase, Reclaim the Adventure of Pursuing God. I like that title, so I looked deeper. It was written in 2008 by Mark Batterson, who serves as the lead pastor of the National Community Church in Washington, D.C. And he begins, and I believe rightly, by reflecting upon how organized religion often tends to tame people, leading to a very domesticated kind of experience with God. And I think many of us can probably relate to that sentiment. He goes as far as comparing the spiritual lives of most Christians to zoo animals that are caged, wondering if the church does to Christians what zoos do to animals. He suggests that we often live in cages that keep us from living the true adventure to which God has called us. Battison goes on to identify six cages or areas of restraint, possibly excuses, in the lives of Christians for not living on the wild side of faith. And to each cage he devotes a chapter. They are the cage of routine, the cage of responsibility, the cage of assumptions, the cage of guilt, the cage of failure, the cage of responsibility, and the cage of fear. And living in these cages prevents us from chasing after the wild goose. Well, here are some examples. The cage of guilt keeps us so focused on what we have done wrong in the past that we don't have any emotional or spiritual energy to really concentrate on the present, let alone think about what might lie ahead in the future. So forgiveness, especially of oneself, is a big key in unlocking that cage. The cage of responsibility reveals that when we get so buried beneath our responsibilities of life, it can lead to a passionless life of mediocrity. Therefore, identifying our God-ordained passions, which is doing what we love and feel called to do, helps us to break free from this cage. The cage of routine can eventually lead to a life of just going through the motions, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And he offers this nugget of wisdom, quote, "A change of pace plus a change of place equals change of perspective." Wise words. So perhaps it would help if you and I shake things up a bit in order to live life fully as God intends. 19th century Danish philosopher and theologian Soren Kierkegaard said that boredom is the root of all evil. Now that's worth thinking about, and it deserves its own sermon. "Take the Holy Spirit out of the equation of my life," Battison writes, "and it would spell B-O-R-I-N-G, boring. Life should be spelled A-D-V-E-N-T-U-R-E, adventure." And in a YouTube video segment promoting his book, he says, "The safety of the cage never satisfies. People want something more than that. I think there is this primal longing for spiritual adventure, to live our lives in a way that has an element of danger." So let me ask you this morning, are you bored with your faith, your religious life? Perhaps we could all use an element of being uncaged and set free into the wild of our personal and congregational life. Perhaps we need to break free from whatever is holding us back from serving God wholeheartedly, from whatever is preventing us from pursuing the wild goose with wild abandon. The Celtic image of the Holy Spirit as a wild goose can serve then as a spiritual kick in the pants to get an often apathetic life or community of faith up and moving. After all, we can't restrain a wild goose, the Holy Spirit, and bend it to our will, as is unfortunately the attempt of many. As Hilary Ann Golden writes, the Holy Spirit, like a wild goose, is always on the move, always doing unexpected things. It is loud, passionate, sometimes frightening, and certainly unsettling. Maybe we need a bit more of that understanding of God in our journey of faith. To further the metaphor, I'm going to close with two brief poems from the modern Celtic tradition. The first is a prayer by Ray Simpson, who holds the title Guardian of the Community of Aidan and Hilda on the Holy Island of Lindisfarne, UK. It's kind of a sister community of Iona Scott. Holy Spirit, wild goose. Great Spirit, wild goose of the Almighty. Be my eye in dark places. Be my flight in trapped places. Be my host in wild places. Be my brood in the barren places. Be my formation in the lost places. And a poem written by Sally Coleman, a Methodist minister, entitled, and a poem written by Sally Coleman, a Methodist minister, entitled Ongoglas, again, the Gaelic term for wild goose. I feel the beat of your wings stirring the air around me, awakening my slumbering spirit, calling me to rise, to follow. I hear your call behind me and before me, the call of adventure, the call to fullness of life. Free me, O wild one, from these chains of complacency and the shackles of comfort I have made. Free me, O wild one, for I choose to release my heart and to follow you again. Stir me, call me, free me, release me. Come, O wild one, come. May it be so. Amen.